The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a hump day. Trump Day hangover. Happier happy hour, Dom. Welcome to it.
Thank you, Crudy. Good to be with you as well, Rich. Thank you, man. And of course, our audience, 844-967-2789.
Spent a long day in Racine yesterday speaking to the MAGA faithful and then made an inefficient trip to Waukesha and then on to Brady Street and then back to Madison. A lot of driving yesterday, coasted in on
you know
fumes.
What? You really, you know, going from the south side of Milwaukee to, you know, the west side as you went to Waukesha, then back into downtown, then back out west again. You really got a nice feel for what the city of Milwaukee has to offer.
Horrible. Just talk about the roads and the traffic. Horrible. Horrible. At least I didn't get blocked out by, you know, an interstate shutdown. Because I was a little nervous, like I was going to meet Trump on the interstate. That happened to me with Joe Biden not so long ago. I got sent like an hour out of my way just to show up and be told, sorry, sir, clown up front, should have told you. We closed the room like an hour ago when you were supposed to be here.
It's a conspiracy. That's what it is.
Well, and they also conspired to what? Block our media credentials? For an outdoor pep rally for the former president, 34 times convicted. And one of the saddest things, remember when Scott Walker was a presidential wannabe? The Wankinator, the former gubernator of the state of Wisconsin.
Yes, of course. How could we forget?
And in September of 2016. No, it didn't even make it to 2016. In September of 2015, after a brief 71 days officially on the campaign trail, the shadow campaign obviously had preceded that for months, but Scott Walker dropped out of the race to let a true conservative galvanize the field, presumably to defeat Donald Trump, the guy that, as you've said a few times,
conservative, not Donald Trump.
And as you've said of Scott Walker from Donald Trump, that effectively Trump put his cigarette out on Scott Walker's ass. I think that's the way you've described it a few times.
Yeah.
Maybe put it out in his sunny side up eggs. No, I'm done. And so are you. Psht. Well, here's one of the embarrassing things. Wanker's all in for Trump now. It's part of his Wisconsin leadership team. I mean, do you find someone morally corrosive and then somehow throw yourself all in behind them?
Come on, man. Scott Walker, you know, he tweets out the Bible verses all the time. So, you know, that means he's in good favor with the Lord. So if you follow a guy like Donald Trump, who I would have a hard time if there is such a thing, that your Lord, their Lord, a Lord, would smile upon the actions, the manners, the behavior, the morals, whatever, of a guy like Donald Trump. So, yeah, you say it about Scott Walker and every other one of those Bible-thumping Republicans that claim that they, you know, like what Louisiana, right? We want the Ten Commandments in the classrooms. Well, how many of those did your guy break on a regular basis? And you're okay with that?
All the important ones. Dom, Scott Walker, you know, truly rising to the moment, tweeting out today, there would not be a reason to celebrate June 19th without the actions taken on July 4th, 1776. There would not have been a freeing of the slaves without a Declaration of Independence, he claims. But I would point out, this country was founded on slavery. And this is revisionist history. And to say effectively, well, you know, there would be no importance to freeing the slaves if there wasn't a United States. Am I wrong? Are there other countries currently operating with active slavery? Many of the Western civilized countries. Did I miss the slavery? Are they still slave? Because that seemed like sort of a specific sin of the American nation. Did I miss that, Walker? As you deride black people in the Juneteenth celebration. You know, he sounds like your girl, Vicky McKenna, who earlier today was chastising her employer, Heartless Radio, for giving people the day off. It's a holiday. I can't believe it. Her greatest grievance, Tom.
Well, Juneteenth is now a federal holiday, right? Since like a couple of years ago.
That's our understanding. How dare they give people off the federal holiday? How dare they, Dom? That and Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Oh, those should not be holidays. Or so Vicky and Scott Walker would assert. Or at least Scott, you know, kind of plays it. You know, if it wasn't for Independence Day, there would not be a Juneteenth Day. Because many of these conservatives, they think that people are trying to steal the 4th of July from them.
Say that about every other federal holiday as well? I mean, if that's your point, technically that would be true for every federal holiday.
There would be no Christmas without July 4th, 1776.
Right, what I'm saying, man. Right? What would be if that is your basis? We became a free nation on this, and then everything that comes from, you know, the seed of free nation is belongs to that day. Oh, okay, if I take you at your premise,
there would be no Santa Claus without the Declaration of Independence.
You know what I'm saying?
I do know.
There would be no Memorial Day, right? There would be no Independence. Well, we have Independence Day. There would be no Labor Day, no Columbus Day, no New Year's Day. We would have none of those days because we'd still be under the thumb of a tyrant king, which is exactly where guys like Scott Walker want us to go right now.
You know, Vicky's other complaint, other than the fact apparently she was doing a live shift and not many people were working in the building. Her other complaint, she's feeling kind of good about herself today, and she put on a skirt and she wore it into work. But if she'd have known it was Juneteenth, she'd have worn workout clothes into the radio station. Because, you know, it's important to look good on the radio, Dom.
Well, I mean, if you look good, you look good. Doesn't matter what you wear. You know what I'm saying? Is it all just subtle racism?
Subtle? I don't see a lot of subtlety here.
If it wasn't for this, you know, I mean, the acknowledgement. And listen, I mean, we Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. And like 2 years later, a general finally went to Galveston, Texas, and said, no, you got to free the slaves. You know, 2 years later, it's almost like some folks were so into states' rights, they want to ignore the federal rule. Like, you know how they are. States' rights. It's all about states' rights. What, states' rights to enslave people that you determine are worthy of enslavement?
Well, Vicky said this footnote in history. This footnote in history, the celebration of Juneteenth, is about, you know, what happened in Galveston. Like it was a one-off, an isolated incident, Dom. And, you know, once it happened, then all the bad things that happened to all black people of all time should never be talked about ever again. Why did they need a holiday about it? I mean, she literally was complaining because don't we have a number to make? Shouldn't the sales team be out selling today?
She's laying like we have quarterly sales goals we need to reach. And if those folks aren't working today, then we may not meet iHeart our quarterly goals. And therefore that would be detrimental to our cash flow, our profit. And you know, I might not get my raise then, right, Vicky?
I can't discern what her final logic would take her to, Dom, but I know it's not celebrating Juneteenth. Her and Scott Walker. Scott Walker.
Don't even get them started on reparations, man.
So, anyways, them the wanker went fully embracive of his now hero, Donald Trump. He's part of his Wisconsin team, leadership team. You know, because that's what I think of leadership. I think of Scott Walker.
Oh, I mean, of course, the guy became governor of the great state of Wisconsin and snapped his fingers. And this guy, I mean, not graduating from college and having zero business sense or degrees or experience.
Or competence, or intelligence.
And solved, quote unquote, a $3.6 billion budget deficit. I mean, this guy should have gone right from Madison to Wall Street. If you're a turnaround king that's saving $3.6 billion, man, your leadership, those skills are needed in the private market.
Well, it took him years longer to save himself when he ran for president. Dom, he had a net negative worth of -$73,500, if memory serves.
Oh, but now he's the executive director of the Young Americas Foundation.
I thought it was the Young Adolphs Foundation.
I'm pretty sure. YAF. I think it's America. Where he leads and galvanizes the college Republicans. The youth.
Heard right-wing talk radio. You know, one of the Clay and the Buck. They're nearly indistinguishable. A couple of white guys. But anyways, they were... what the hell was... It was so memorable, I've forgotten it. I forgot what he was saying. Damn it. I'll remember. You know how I am. I just take a minute, and my memory will come back. It's because I have to do the heavy lifting for your brain. I'm thinking for two here.
What's the Scott Walker, though?
I'll come back. I'll remember.
All right. We'll come back to the Scott Walker. You know, we did see... I think it was maybe on one of our Devil's Advocates Facebook page or on Twitter, at Devil Radio. Folks, check them out. Follow it. Make sure you see it. Someone posted a picture from the audience of the Racine rally with Donald Trump yesterday, and zoomed in, you could see this big bald spot with a gaudy ass on the back of and a guy's wearing this gaudy American flag shirt. I was like, I recognize that bald spot. That's Scott Walker.
You could recognize Wanker from satellite imagery through that cabinet injury that he blamed on Tonette. Very Alito-like.
My wife, it was her fault.
More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. When you call us, it's a happier, happy hour.
You wouldn't hire me to be a neurosurgeon. You wouldn't hire me to run condos. You wouldn't hire me to run HP. You probably wouldn't hire me to run the United States Senate.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join the political party. Do so at 844-967-2789.
Dom, a fact check of Trump's visit to Racine, Wisconsin yesterday, and it got a little lengthy.
No, dude.
I mean, it sort of stacked up, the sort of stacking of BS on top of BS on top of BS. It took a while to quantify just how high the BS had stacked. How tall are you, Dom?
I don't know if I'm that tall, man. I mean, it was a lot of BS. I mean, there was so much. I kind of feel like one of those, you know, you go to the festivals, you got the big porta potties and, you know, you go into one towards the end of the day, and sometimes there's a mound that's coming out of the toilet, like literally a mound of poop. Yeah, don't use those. But that's kind of what it felt like when I, you know, heard this. It was like opening up a 10-day festival porta potty. If you know, you know. You know what I'm saying?
When you say it like that, it makes me long for the third weekend of Summerfest. Dom, you want to get to the fact-checking?
We do have some, yes. Found this on the interwebs yesterday. CNN did some fact-checking. The guest, I forget the show, forget the guest, but we have it here. It's on the Facebook page and the Twitter. You can check it out. Let's just hear some of the contradictions or, I don't know, lies, misrepresentations, you know, wrong statements, however you want to clarify it, classify it, call it, Let's play the first one. There's a few. Let's play the first one, please, Rich.
Daniel, take it away.
He said there was world peace in 2020. There was very much not. He said he won Wisconsin in 2020. He lost. He said the Democrats rigged the 2020 election. A lie. He said people around President Biden cheat on elections. No. He said people's votes tend to disappear. They simply do not. He said 107,000 people attended his recent rally in New Jersey. That's at least tens of thousands too high. He said he saved Kenosha, Wisconsin in 2020 during rioting when the Democratic governor wouldn't act to intervene. In fact, that governor deployed the National Guard before Trump told him to. Trump said cocaine was found at the White House about a month ago. That was actually about 11 months ago. He said it was hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cocaine. It was a little bag, maybe generously in the hundreds of dollars worth. He said Biden orchestrated his New York criminal trial. Zero evidence of that. He said Biden was also behind all of his cases, including civil trials. Baseless again. He said Biden wandered off at the G7 and didn't know where he was. No, Biden was briefly chatting with a skydiver who had landed near the group.
How dare you chat with a skydiver? Daniel Dale from CNN. You know, line him out. If you're taking notes out there, folks, I hope you can write fast. Let's hear some more, please, Rich.
He said he was indicted more than infamous Al Capone. No, Al Capone had more indictments than him. He said he was in Washington the other day for one of his trials. He was actually there for meetings with congressional Republicans. He said Nancy Pelosi turned down his offer of 10,000 soldiers on January 6th. She never got such an offer and would not have had the power to reject it, even if she did. He said the January 6th committee deleted all records, just did not happen. He said he's the only president who didn't start a war. Jimmy Carter didn't start any wars. He said he finished the war in Syria, no, and got U.S. soldiers out. He actually left hundreds of troops there. He said Syria and Turkey have been fighting over their border for, quote, 2,000 years. That border, Abby, is less than a century old. He said insane asylums are being emptied by foreign countries to let people come to the U.S. as migrants. His own campaign cannot substantiate this claim. And he also said prisoners are coming in from jails in the Congo over the border. His campaign can't substantiate that either. He said President Obama cannot deport criminals to Latin American countries. Obama, in fact, could.
I mean, even he was talking about who's given what crime rates in Venezuela. He's just pulling stuff from ass. Pardon me, Daniel Dale from CNN. I believe the last one. I don't know what number we're up to, but
well,
it's
who's
a lot.
If you don't hear the fact checker on CNN, who in that crowd's going, you know, I was just looking at the chart for the Venezuelan crime rates, and I think Trump's pretty high on this one.
All right, the last one, please, Rich.
He said Venezuela's crime is down 72% because of emigration to the U.S. Venezuela's violent deaths are actually down 25%, and that's for a variety of reasons. He said 17 or 18 million people have now entered illegally over the border. Experts say that's many millions too high. He said Biden's plans would quadruple your taxes. Total fiction. He said canceling Keystone XL, the pipeline, costs 48,000 jobs. That is wildly inflated. He said total inflation under President Biden is 40 or 50%. It's actually 19%. He said before he took office, there was a $500 billion trade deficit with China. It has never been that high. And in fact, the record was set under Trump in 2018. He said no previous president has taken in even 10 cents in tariff money from China. It is Americans who pay those tariffs. And the U.S. has actually had such tariffs on China since the 1700s. And finally, he said we're in the worst crime wave in modern history. Crime has actually plummeted in 2023 and so far in 2024. Abby?
And it's only Tuesday.
I mean, come on. That was one speech in Racine, Wisconsin. One speech. Well done, Abby, Daniel Dale at the CNN. What do you do? What do you say? I mean, you could do this with this guy every single day about something he says. And then now you got to start lining up the sycophants, man, the ass kissers, you know, the actual Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. When Trump went out there and said, you know, Milwaukee's a horrible city. Well, they all came up with their own versions of what that truth was. They're so eager. They're so eager to please. They trip over themselves. They can't even get their stories straight.
Well, I live in Wauwatosa. Dom, just fact-checking the wanker, as a few on the text line pointed out, the British abolished slavery in 1834. Juneteenth was the result of the American people not telling enslaved people that they had been emancipated 2 years prior in Galveston, Texas. And on June 19th, they found out the truth.
How are you going to work for your enemy for free? Come on.
Also, according to the resources I find here, Dom, the British actually considered abolishing slavery all the way back to 1787. That's about the time our Constitution was starting to count 3/5 of a human being. Thank God we had July 4th, 1776, or there'd be no need to celebrate Juneteenth. As I have always asserted, racist former governor of the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, putting out there on the Twitter, mostly from his butt. More devil's advocates. Don't lead with your butt. 844-967-2789. I got a little debate topic for you, Dom. Something Clay and Buck talked about, or maybe not. I can't remember.
Sure? I don't believe you. Was it Clay or Buck?
Aren't they the same guy?
Big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a hump day edition, a happier happy hour rolling through it. Dom, I thought I'd stir the pot a little bit, get the political debate started about the prudence of pardoning Donald J. Trump. You know, it could affect the history of our nation, but I see you've got a differing direction you'd like to take the show. Apparently, we're going to talk about George Santos and his brand new OnlyFans account. You know, as long as you got your priorities, man, I'll follow you down this rabbit hole.
Isn't that what the world needs now is George Santos OnlyFans page? Yes, please.
Are we going to go there? Let's go there. George Santos announces OnlyFans account to stir the pot. Disgraced former congressman. Is he disgraced?
You know.
You'd have to feel shame to be disgraced.
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Disgraced former congressman George Santos is taking his post-Washington, D.C. career to the next level on OnlyFans. What happened to Cameo? I thought he was making $200-$300 a minute doing little cameo ditties for people, Dom. The OnlyFans, if you're unaware, and Dom is well aware, is a site best known for its pornographic subscriptions. And this afternoon, Santos announced his intention to give the people the moment you've all been waiting for. Only on OnlyFans will you get the full behind-the-scenes access to everything I'm working on. See you all there.
I want to see that behind scene.
Dom, but less than an hour after making the announcement, Santos explained that he'd be using this subscription service to promote other, more wholesome content.
Oh, what?
Okay, y'all get your panties in a bunch. The OnlyFans is not adult content. Well, why would we possibly think you would use a pornographic dominated site right, not for something wholesome, you know, because.
Well, I thought he wanted to stir the pot, man.
Well, he oscillated, it says here, between admissions that his original message was a stunt and expressions of feigned annoyance with the reaction to it. I decided to go with OnlyFans because I wanted to stir the pot. Folks need to stop being so sensitive.
And if you want to see me oscillating, that's going to cost you $9.99.
Monthly. Santos became a national figure after his election to the House in 22, Dom, when media began to unravel the labyrinth webs of lies he told voters about himself. I mean, we just did a fact check on Trump. It almost ate half a segment, Tom. I don't think we could recount all the George Santoses, but anyways. Right,
you're just gonna have to trust us on that one.
By May of his first year in office, by May, Dom, Santos had been indicted by the Department of Justice on charges of wire fraud, money laundering, theft of public funds, and making false statements to the House. The best argument yet, Dom, I would say, of a politicized DOJ. Clearly it was political.
Sometimes.
A political hit job, Dom. They took him out.
Sometimes people are just guilty of what they did.
Dom, ultimately,
usually the case.
Santos became the sixth member of the House to ever be expelled when 311 of his colleagues voted in favor of his removal in December. Where were you on that fateful day, Derek Van Orden?
I don't know. Well, where were you when you got your George Santos OnlyFans subscription?
Right here on the radio with you, Dom. 844-967-2789. I am not paying that as a company expense.
It's a write-off, Jerry.
You don't even know what a write-off is. 844-967-2789. Do you think George Santos will eventually be deserved of a pardon, Dom?
No, man. No, why? Why should he get a pardon?
He's been exposed,
does he acknowledge it? Has he shown contrition? You know, is he sorry for his actions? Does he recognize the harm that he's caused, not only to himself and his very specific victims, but to society as a whole? I don't think so.
I didn't know you had to make all those confessions just to have an OnlyFans page.
Just asking.
Dom, what would it take for you? And the audience wants to know. They've been texting in. Does Dom have an OnlyFans page? Some inquiring minds would like to know.
One under my stage name, you know? Do I have to wear a mask? No, I do not have an OnlyFans page. I'm not opposed if I get paid, but you know, I thought, who wants to see that? You know what I mean? I mean, Crudy, I'm not. I know.
I have seen more.
You got the preview for free, man. I think you owe me some money. Just for the record.
Yes.
We'll put it on the tab.
We'll get a subscription. I'm good for 1 month. I'm good for, you know, buy 1 month, get 1 month free. Put me down for the free month.
Buy one, get one free. You got the Clay and Buck. You want to talk about this Trump pardon thing? I know you had this Clay and Buck thing in your head.
I know, but then you started talking and I was distracted. I was thinking, man, I wish I had a subscription to Dom's OnlyFans page. No, I'm sorry, I've lost my Clay and Buck
okay,
point.
Okay, so you lost that. Let's talk about Lanny Davis. According to the Raw story, ex-lawyer for Donald Trump's former fixer turned vehement enemy, Michael Cohen, made a surprise request on Wednesday that Trump be pardoned. Writing for the conservative Real Clear Politics, Lanny Davis began by comparing Trump to Hunter Biden, who was just convicted of lying to purchase a gun.
But I thought Biden said he would not pardon his son, and I realize this is not federal charges he was convicted of, but I mean, come on, Lanny, you're already losing me, but go ahead.
Let's hear what Lanny, I know this is the point. I'm like, okay, let's hear what this guy has to say, right? So Biden's crime, according to Lanny Davis, occurred in the middle of his addiction. It was not part of any planned criminal scheme. The opposite was the case for Trump, however. A New York jury found that Trump was involved in a broad conspiracy to conceal a payoff to a woman to keep quiet about a sexual relationship that he feared would damage his election chances. But Davis thinks both men should be pardoned. Here's his quote. I was once angry with Gerald Ford when he pardoned Richard Nixon for his Watergate crime.
I'm still angry. And I was just a kid then.
The presidency in 1974. With the benefit of hindsight, I and many leading historians believe President Ford made the right decision. Of course, Ford famously announced, our long national nightmare is over, as he handed Nixon the pardon. Now, Lanny Davis, and I'm perhaps not a leading historian, Mr. Davis, but I would suggest that we are in this situation today specifically because a guy like Nixon was allowed to get away with it.
And Reagan, and H.W. Bush, and W. Bush, and so far, Trump.
Davis argues incarcerating Trump would undermine the message by making him a martyr to his followers. So he wrote begging Biden to show grace to the ex-president by announcing his support of a pardon and commutation for his opponent by New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Davis wanted to say that he hopes Trump would grant Hunter Biden the same grace were he to win in November. He argued that in support, announcing his support for a Trump pardon Joe Biden would also be upholding another fundamental principle that the most important decision in our republic, the election of a president of the United States, should be decided at the ballot box and not in a courtroom. That's why there's the courtrooms, man. No, man, I do not think, Lanny Davis, that Donald Trump should be pardoned. I think Donald Trump should continue to go through the justice system as any other citizen does, regardless of what his job wants to be, what he's going to interview for. He's not the president, although sometimes he still, apparently, according to reports, continues to think that he is. I don't believe that MAGA would see take a pardon as a sign of grace and strength. I think they would take it as a sign of weakness. That's what I think. And I think if you do that, you're going to get more of it. Why would you stop the behavior if there's no consequence to it?
I completely disagree with you. I think Donald Trump is deserved of a pardon upon his death.
Yeah.
Posthumously.
After he dies, then we can pardon him. That's whoever the president may be.
Yes. I for future generations of felon Trumps, I think the old man should be pardoned upon his death, but not before that time. Living Trump, I think, should suffer the consequence of his criming, of his actions. And here's the only reason I would even consider a pardon. Because this is not the real criming. And those right. that say these are not important crimes or, you know, everybody cooks the books. Well, I never did in business. I never did in business. Maybe I was doing it wrong. Maybe I was the sucker paying my taxes.
Yeah, sucker paying taxes. What are you doing, man?
But I never did that in business. I didn't cook the books. I never paid off a porn star. I never signed an NDA to keep someone from exposing me, as far as you know.
During an election cycle in which you are on the ballot and you're just coming off a terrible circumstance with the Hollywood Access tape.
But ultimately, I would pardon Trump of this crime, but only after he is convicted on federal crimes in Fulton County, Georgia. And then whoever replaces Eileen Cannon and eventually finds him guilty in the classified documents case. Once those cases, once the serious crimes are leveled against him.
And what about the insurrection?
Well, that is the serious stuff.
The government? Yeah, yeah.
Well, that is the real stuff. That's the stuff the man should pay consequences for. That's the stuff that Merrick Garland should have been on the ball about. I mean, he sat around for a year and a half. Nothing. No special counselor for a year and a half. Now, here we are up against an election cycle, and we got to hope for what? A hush money trial in New York. And sure, I paid attention. I know the details. And yes, he was convicted. But this is the lightweight crime and compared to the actual heavy duty insurrection against the government sort of criming he eventually did. That was before he was president criming. I would rather he was held accountable for the criming he did while the president, unless, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court decides he has immunity. In which case, they've effectively given him the pardon.
Well, but if he has immunity, then President Joe Biden has immunity.
Call SEAL Team 6. 844-967-2789. Thou shalt call the devil's advocates. Mike from Cedarburg, welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hello, Mike.
I'm still hurting. I mean, I tried one shot for every guilty verdict, and you can't do it one day. And
my wife you got to spread that out, Mike.
Oh, my wife was getting real tired of me singing Happy Days Are Here again, but what the hell.
Is there any chance you could find a rationalization to pardon Trump now that he's been found guilty? And no swearing, I remind you. Thou shalt not swear on the devil's advocates.
I wouldn't pardon
Come on, Mike, hold it together.
I wouldn't pardon him if they held a gun to my head. That'd be the last person on earth I'd ever pardon. The lion. Yeah. So, boy, you know, I don't think he in his wildest dreams, he didn't deserve a pardon. I mean, every other word out of his mouth is a lie.
Would you pardon him if he ever showed contrition? If he ever said, I did it. Yeah. I was a terrible lover. I raw dogged the porn star. I paid her off. And, you know, I couldn't tell the wife. I couldn't tell the accountant. So we cooked the books a little. But very, very, very sorry. Please pardon me.
His ego would not let him do it. He couldn't do it. I'd just like to hear what he said to that probation officer, because the probation officer has got to make a report, and if he says he showed no contrition whatsoever, he's going to do jail time. You know, they want you to admit to your act.
How many shots are you going to do? Like a shot for every month the guy gets sentenced, Mike?
Mike, what do you think? What do you think the sentence will be? Any thoughts?
No, it's not. It may be 60 days. But he'll definitely have to do jail time pending his appeal. You know he's going to try and appeal it forever.
So. A year and a day. A year and a day. That's what I say, Michael. You know, and then you can do some happy days and some shots.
Thanks for the call, Mike. 844-967-2789. You know, 30, 60 days? I mean, I'd be fine with that. I mean, he's got bigger problems than this. These other trials, he doesn't win election. He's going to, and these other trials start and finish and 25 and 26. I mean, he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail. He's got bigger problems than this.
Well, maybe he does, but that's a big if he doesn't win, if he doesn't self-pardon, if he doesn't, through the supremacy clause, basically get all the state court trials killed. If.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Oh, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines, talk or text right now, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, former Attorney General Eric Holder said today he is concerned that the Supreme Court will come to a dangerous conclusion on former President Trump's claim of presidential immunity. You know, who needs a pardon when you got presidential immunity granted by people that you put on the court, potentially? partly because it has taken time for the justices to reveal their decision. Now, Trump has made the immunity claim on charges related to federal cases he faces on storing classified documents. Is that what he was doing, storing some classified documents?
Storing, yes, storing.
Why did he get a pod? He's storing them in the guest bathroom at Mar-a-Lago. And, of course, we know about the 2020 election and the January 6th riot at the Capitol. A decision from the Supreme Court is expected before the end of June. That's next Friday, Dom. Right around the debate time on June 27th, next Thursday night at the Barrymore Theater. You're all invited. It's free. Panel discussion, Dom Crute, Maggie Dawn, and others invited. And then the most important presidential debate of your lifetime to follow, our friends and partners, the Barrymore Theater and the Progressive Magazine, Dom and Crute, and you, because you're going to be at the party. But Dom, that's about the time. Because, you know, they'll be out of time. The U.S. Supreme Court will drop the decision on Trump's presidential immunity claims. A little pre-pardon could happen. And our boy, and we've met Eric Holder, I've had the opportunity to interview Eric Holder, says this. The notion, for instance, that apparently some justices are fooling around with it. Well, if the president violated the criminal law, but was doing so in his official capacity, there may be some basis to say that that's okay. We need to step back and think about that. You know, wait a minute. A president can violate the American criminal law if he or she is doing so in their official capacity? That is absurd and a dangerous conclusion. And I'm worried, given the length of time it has taken for the Supreme Court to decide this case, that something along those lines might come out of the Supreme Court. Holder also said that anything less than a decision by the Supreme Court that says, and here's his quote, a president should be held to the laws, just like any other American citizen should be. Anything other than that is absurd. Now, Trump and his attorneys have claimed that ex-presidents have criminal immunity for official acts. The next decision dates for the Supreme Court are Thursday and Friday, but it's unclear what decisions they will drop on those days. Some observers and Trump critics do not think the court will find Trump has immunity. Yeah, but the former attorney general is quite nervous, Dom. Eric Holder. Well, let's not forget,
he's also in contempt of Congress, Mr. Holder. So let's he not was, forget that.
But was not he prosecuted, was. Much like Merrick Garland will not be prosecuted by his Department of Justice for being in contempt of Congress.
Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson. He has something to say about that. Rich, I think we have some sound on this. Apparently, Rojo was on the Newsmax recently, and he thinks he's got a new way that he can, you know, get Attorney General Merrick Garland on contempt of Congress. If you're ready for it, Rich, let's hear what Ron had to say. You're welcome, Wisconsin.
Well, let's face it. January 6th committee was corrupt.
Yeah.
It was highly partisan. But, you know,
not the act, the committee.
In terms of Congress's oversight capabilities. You know, we are vested in the Constitution with the responsibility to conduct oversight, hold the administration accountable. But unfortunately, Congress has allowed that power to atrophy over the decades. What Speaker Johnson now is pursuing is civil contempt. You know, so he'll go to court and try and get a court, you know, remember the third branch, to enforce their subpoena. So there's actually a third type of contempt that Congress has used in the past. It's called inherent contempt.
Inherent contempt.
And that is where you basically send the sergeant at arms to the individual who is holding Congress in contempt, and you arrest that individual until they comply with your subpoena. Now, it hasn't been used in the House since 1916. In the Senate, the last time they used it was 1935. But I think the way this is going, the way that administrations just completely blow off Congress and its constitutional responsibility and authority to enforce these things, at some point in time, some committee is going to have to start looking at inherent contempt as well.
And send the sergeant at arms out to go get them, enforce that subpoena, drag them kicking and screaming. And Rojo, man, sometimes you really got me going. I just wonder.
For a guy that could be a soon-to-be future criminal defendant?
Be careful what you wish for, man. If that's your position, I mean, you've done some things, Ron, that you haven't entirely, accounted for or answered for yet or have suffered the consequences thereof. And one of those things could be, I don't know, maybe a subpoena, congressional subpoena, perhaps.
I think it's pretty late for a congressional subpoena. I think we're going straight to DOJ subpoenas. Or I don't think Ron will ever be held accountable. What he called the J6 committee corrupt? You, sir, were an unindicted co-conspirator in a plot to overthrow the government of the United States, and you're calling the committee to investigate corrupt?
Well, yeah. I mean, it had those two Republicans.
Talk about self-serving.
Talk about projection.
Folks, we're the devil's advocates. We always project the fact that we are the greatest radio show ever. You know that because you've listened to the very end.
It's only because it's true.
That was the first Devil's Advocate's commandment, Dom. Thou shalt listen 3 hours each day. Thank you to our fine guests. They included Earl Ingram right here in Madison with me. Happy Juneteenth to you, Earl. And also John Nichols from The Nation out there fighting the storms in southern Wisconsin somewhere. Thank you, Rich, for what you do. Thank you all for listening. We'll do it again on the radio tomorrow. Some say greatest radio show ever. We just happen to agree with them.